ॐ हरि ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयम् करुणालयम् नमामि भगवत्पादशङ्करम् लोकशङ्करम् शङ्करम् शङ्कराचार्यम् केशवम् बादरायणम् सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ॐ ईश्वरो गुरुरात्मेति मूर्तिभेदविभागिने व्योमवद्व्याप्तदेहाय दक्षिणामूर्तये नमः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। यदि मन्यसे सुवेदेति दहरमेवापि नूनम् त्वं वेत्थ ब्रह्मणो रूपम् यदस्य त्वम् यदस्य च देवेषु अथ नु मीमागुंस्यमेव ते मन्ये विदितम्। नाहं मन्ये सुवेदेति नो न वेदेति वेद च योनस्तद्वेद तद्वेद नो न वेदेति वेद च यस्य मतम् तस्य मतम् मतम् यस्य न वेदसः अविज्ञातम् विजानताम् विज्ञातम् अविजानताम् अविजानताम् प्रतिबोधविदितम् मतम् अमृतत्वम् हि विन्दते आत्मना विन्दते वीर्यम् विद्यया विन्दते अमृतम् प्रतिबोधविदितम् मतम्। I thought I'll begin my class with the line from Dakshinamurti Stotra. बाल्यादिष्वपि जाग्रदादिषु तथा सर्वास्वस्थास्वपि व्यावृत्तास्वपि वर्तमानमहमित्यन्तस्फुरन्तं सदा व्यावृत्तासु सर्वासु अवस्थासु बाल्यादिषु जाग्रदादिषु अवस्थासु aham 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 iti sadaspurantam. Same this pratibodha viditam reality need not be experienced newly, and reality need not be known newly. Shastram does not reveal the reality, unknown reality to us. Shastram only helps us recognize what is already cognized. Okay, already reality is cognized, already experienced, already known. How, where? Pratibodham, bodham, in every experience, in every cognition, every piece of knowledge, already consciousness, reality obtaining in the form of pure consciousness is always cognized, always known, always experienced, already experienced. The problem is, because it is inseparably with the thought, thought means thought pertaining to the objects means the material world, our attention gets stuck there. So Shastra only helps us recognize what is already cognized. That is why it is self-recognition. Self-knowledge is nothing but self-recognition. And so in this line also it is said, sarvasu avasthasu, in all stages of life, from childhood, there is knowledge of existence of one's own self, obtaining in the form of thought in terms of I am, I, balyadishu. In childhood, the knowledge of I was there. In boyhood or girlhood, I was there. In youth, I is. In old age, I is. Which is the time when I is not? Always aham, aham iti. In all three states of experience, as a knower, I am. In all stages of life, I am. In all states of experience, I am. And what are these stages? Stages are discontinuous, mutually exclusive. States of experience are discontinuous and mutually exclusive. All the thoughts which come and go, all of them, always I am there. I, consciousness, am always. Without arriving, without departing, without changing, I, the consciousness, am always. So, Pratibodha Viditam Matam. Now, Amrutattvam Hi Vindate. Now, quickly move on. Amrutattvam Hi Vindate. Is a person who recognizes, who discerns the truth, reality, implied by the term Atma at Brahma, obtaining pure consciousness, pure knowledge as the truth of I, one who discerns the Swarupma of the thought, such a person, and whose identity is with that Atma, the consciousness, he Amrutattvam Vindate, he gains, he attains immortality. Here, Vindate means attains or gains. Now, what is the rule? Anything attained is subject to get lost. Anything gained is subject to get lost. So, are we interested in Amrutattva Moksha, which is going to be lost? No. Therefore, here, even though the mantra says Amrutattvam Vindate, it says the Vindate really, it is not real gain. is not gain. It is gain as it were. What is gain here? One, gaining one's own self. The gain is one's own self. When I say the person who recognizes the truth gains oneself means what? How can he gain oneself? Here, one, that's why I said already, Shastram does not reveal the unknown self. Shastram helps us correct the error in our perception of the self. Shastram helps us recognize the fact about our real nature. So recognizing our real nature, what we are essentially, which is not newly attained, what we are already, attainment of the recognition, attainment of the knowledge of what we are essentially, is what is the gain here. Gain is not something, once you gain something newly, the newly gained thing is not going to add anything to our nature, it's not going to improve our nature, it's not going to make us bigger, not going to bring out any changes on our part. If you recognize your real nature, discern the nature, real Swarupam, reality, obtaining as the truth of the Swarupam of the thought, and seeing the truth as one's own real nature, as one's own self, seeing that real Atma as I am Atma, is what? Gaining oneself. That's what is gaining here. We are not anything gaining newly. Okay? So not recognizing our real nature. Is a loss. We're going to see later. But recognizing our real nature is what? Non-recognizing our real nature is the loss. Recognizing our real nature is gain. Okay? Is the gain. And when you recognize your real nature, what is the real nature? Immortality, Amritatvam. You know, you see the Swarupam of I, the content of I is formless, abstract, pure consciousness, which is timeless, beginningless, endless, changeless, which is not subject to birth or death. Consciousness is not subject to birth or death, not subject to any change. But all changes, all births, all deaths, all originations, all endings, all happenings, all of them happen in consciousness. But consciousness is free from birth and death. Consciousness is of the nature of changelessness, timelessness. Therefore, consciousness is of the nature of immortality. So recognizing one's own real nature being consciousness, recognizing the truth of oneself being consciousness, obtaining as the Swarupam of each thought, each and every thought and every cognition, thereby seeing the immortal consciousness as oneself is attainment of immortality. Immortality is not attained, is not gained. Moksha is not gained. Freedom is not gained. Recognizing what has not been recognized before is gaining, attaining as it were. Is it clear? And discovers freedom. Okay. So jnanam, what is Brahma jnanam, was said in the first quarter of the mantra, pratibodha viditam matam. Then amritattam hi vindate, the statements, the benefit of knowledge is revealed in that sentence, by the sentence. Then atmana vindate viryam. Viryam means samarthyam, and viryam being capable, becoming capable of discovering, recognizing one's swarupam, which is already there, that needs the recognition, presupposes subtleness of the mind, sharpness, okay, intellectual sharpness, emotional stability, subtleness of the mind. Now you know how subtle it is. Thought itself is subtle, and the thought assumes the form of every object, and every thought we are experiencing the objects in the form of thoughts in the mind. And here the swarupam of each and every thought and every cognition is consciousness, one indivisible, undivided, partless consciousness. And how subtle it is. This morning Ganeshwari asked a good question. So here, seeing in every cognition, consciousness being the swarupam of thought, needs intellectual sharpness. If you have to discern consciousness, intellect must be sharp and subtle. And the sharpness of intellect, subtleness of intellect is possible. That is what is what, that capability, you know, that implies the mind being endowed with all qualifications. Means what? Mind must be, the mind is the endowed with the fourfold qualifications. The person has Pumukshuttam, the person has Shamala Shatka Sampatti, the person has Vairagyam and Vivekaha, means the person is intellectually sharp and subtle. And that subtleness is important to discern, to recognize the consciousness. Physically, consciousness cannot be separated, but cognitively we have to discern and see that consciousness obtaining as a swarupam of the thought, and not as seeing the swarupam of the thought, seeing it as one's own self, seeing it as the content of I, needs, presupposes intellectual sharpness and subtleness. And that is what is implied by the term viryam. How can one have that viryam? It is viryam vindate. That mental preparedness required for jnanam is meant by the word viryam here. How does one attain atmana? Atmana means by one's own self. This is what we have to understand. We should not put the blame on Bhagavan or somebody else. Nobody else can come and help you. I told you many times, for physical growth and expansion in height and weight is taken care of by nature. If we eat 3 times a day or 5 times a day or 2 times a day. But emotional maturity needs your own initiation. We must make use of our willpower. We must make use of the best use of our knowledge of right and wrong. Okay? To manage our emotions and thoughts and desires, thereby in due course of time we can become adequately sharp and subtle, and to be able to understand, to discern the subtlest consciousness, and to see it as one's own self. Okay? So atmana means by one's own self. Atmana means what? By one's own efforts. Swiya prayatnena, atmanaha prayatnena, by one's own efforts. By one's own efforts. Very important. We must make efforts, then pray for Bhagavan's grace. If we do not make efforts, only seek Bhagavan's grace, Bhagavan will think, oh, we are very lazy, and you want everything. You want me to do everything for you? You make your effort, then you can also pray for grace. Make efforts, also seek grace. Make efforts. So atmana implies by one's own efforts, constant, consistent efforts. Atmana means Atmanaha Prayatnena. In due course of time, one has the capacity to discern the truth obtaining as the swarupam of thought. Because the thought and consciousness are so intimately associated, and we are not able to discern, that needs sharpness and subtleness. Isn't it? Because it's physical, even physical separation is difficult for us. And imagine, not physically, we cannot do anything here. That is why you must be sharp. That capacity comes how? By one's own efforts. Okay? And efforts means what? What effort we should do here? What is that effort Shastram expects us to do, make, to become intellectually sharp and subtle, to be able to recognize, to discern the consciousness obtaining as a swarupam of the thought? What is the effort? What are the efforts? Imagine, karaka kriya palam. Isn't it now? All forms of actions, all kinds of actions, all forms of actions, when you say, in this, what the word prayatna involves, our duties, nitya karmani. The word efforts involves our own duties, our values, our commitment to dharma, our disciplines, our attitudes, our prayer, our worship, our meditation. You can include even practice of yogasana. All different physical, mental, moral activities we need to perform for living this life. Okay? The word prayatnaha implies all these. When all of them, when we do, with the purushartrishya, for jnanam, for moksha, I am living this life. With the purushartrishya, the commitment to the pursuit of moksha, the commitment to the pursuit of knowledge, knowing the moksha being the ultimate choiceless end, when a person lives his life doing all his duties and following values and disciplines, you know, prayers and worship and meditation, etc. All that he does becomes yoga. When a person lives a life of karma yoga, that's called living a life of karma yoga involves efforts. It's not an easy joke at all. People think living a life of karma yoga is very easy. That's not true. Living a life of karma yoga involves great effort, because we must be conscious of what you are doing all the time. That's why atmana means atmanaha prayatnena. By one's own efforts, by use, consciously making use of the will, consciously making use of one's knowledge of right and wrong, doing all the activities one has to do. That's why I said the word prayatna involves values, attitudes, actions and duties and worship, prayer, meditation, everything. Okay? And a person does, and that in due course of time gives rise to the mental refinement. That mind becomes refined in such a way it is adequately sharp and subtle to be able to recognize the subtlest abstract reality obtaining as the very swarupam of thought in every cognition, invariably being present in all the variable cognitions. So Atmana Vindate Vedyam. The person is adequately sharp and subtle intellectually, then he can attain jnanam. And once he has jnanam, Vidyaya Vindate Amritam. He attains freedom. He attains freedom. He gains freedom means, I told you already, the gain is gain as it were. There's no real gain here. Okay? No real gain. Recognition of one's own real nature is gain. Because it is one's own nature, it will not go. If you gain anything else, it will go. Anything, whatever is attained, will definitely will leave you and go away. You have got a body, it will go. You got everything, whatever you attain, anything other than yourself, anything other than yourself, what you enjoy, what you possess, what you own, what you have, has been given to you. You have attained it, you have gained it as a result of some punyam or something. Anything which is yours, which has come to you, will subject to leave you and go away. If moksha also suddenly walks newly, okay, beautifully dressed, and says hello to you, I am moksha, you worked very hard, liberally have karma yoga, you have attained jnanam, I am moksha, I have come here to be here with you. Oh, such a moksha, she will go back. Okay, that is not moksha. A freedom is a word, another word. Actually, the word freedom, what actually implies is fullness, limitlessness, infinitude, happiness, ananda. And that is your nature. Already, the content of I is consciousness, and consciousness is of the nature of infinitude. This abstract reality which you arrive at, stumble upon when you discern, when you understand, as is chakshushaha chakshuhu shrotrasya shrotram, that abstract formless reality is of the nature of knowing. Jnanam, that pure knowledge, pure consciousness is of the nature of infinitude, fullness, happiness, limitlessness. And when you recognize your sarupam being consciousness, obtaining as the truth of every thought and every cognition, and you only recognize your fullness being your own nature, you recognize freedom being your nature. So recognition of one's own real nature being fullness, limitlessness, infinitude, freedom is what? Seeing it as yours is cognitive taking ownership of that freedom. Therefore, Vidyaya Amritam Vindate. One attains immortality, freedom, through knowledge, by knowledge as one's own nature. Vidyaya Vindate Amritam. Now, is the concluding mantra of the second chapter, second section. And in this mantra, again, benefit of self-knowledge, benefit of knowledge of reality is presented different, in a different way. Iha ched avedit Atha satyamasti.
Atha satyamasti.
Iha ched.
Iha ched.
Avedit.
Avedit.
Atha satyamasti.
Atha satyamasti.
Na ched.
Na ched.
Iha avedit.
Iha avedit.
Na ched.
Na ched.
Iha avedit.
Iha avedit.
Mahati vinashtihi.
Mahati vinashtihi.
Bhuteshu bhuteshu.
Bhuteshu bhuteshu.
Vichitya dhiraha.
Vichitya dhiraha.
Pretyasma lokat.
Pretyasma lokat.
Amrita bhavanti.
Amrita bhavanti.
Let me repeat it. Iha chedavedit.
Iha chedavedit.
Atha satyamasti.
Atha satyamasti.
Na chedihavedit.
Na chedihavedit.
Na ched.
Na ched.
Iha avedit.
Iha avedit.
Mahati vinashtihi.
Mahati vinashtihi.
Bhuteshu bhuteshu.
Bhuteshu bhuteshu.
Vichitya dhiraha.
Vichitya dhiraha.
Pretyasma lokat.
Pretyasma lokat.
Amrita bhavanti.
Amrita bhavanti.
Okay. Amritaha bhavanti. See the last expression. You probably start from the beginning. Come from the back. Amritaha bhavanti. Already in the previous mantra you have seen twice. Amritam, amritatvam vindate. Vidyaya vindate amritam. Twice you have already seen. Jnana phalam, benefit of knowledge. Again here, this mantra specifically mentions Amritaha Bhavanti. Amritaha Bhavanti, become immortal. Become immortal means they attain freedom, attain liberation. Who attain liberation? Dhiraha. Dhiraha, wise people are always mentioned in the Shastram by his expression Dhiraha. Dhiraha, Dhiraha, Amritaha Bhavanti. Wise people become immortal. Wise people become immortal. So becoming immortal means these wise people are those people dhiraha until they become wise. Until they become wise, they became wise. No, they are not brave, they are not dhiraha. What made them dhiraha, what made them brave, it is the attainment of knowledge. Ignorance is cowardice, knowledge is bravery, knowledge is strength, ignorance is weakness. So these wise people are the people who attained jnanam, and because of the jnanam they become immortal. They become immortal again means they do not become immortal. They only recognize their nature being already immortal. Recognizing their nature, real nature being immortality, by recognizing their real, the Swarupam being consciousness, is becoming immortal, attainment of immortality. So when they attain jnanam, immediately there is a freedom. What is the freedom from the hold of all wrong notions? freedom from jiva bhavaha, freedom from the ahankara mamakaraha. Shankara Bhagavatpada mentions in his, you know, they become free from the hold of all wrong notions. And the wrong notions resolve means that identity, the I sense which was identified with the material body, mind sense complex, is shifted to consciousness. Cognitive shift, cognitively I sense is identified with the formless, abstract consciousness. In ignorance, I sense was identified with the material, grossest body, subtle material mind. Is it subtle material body, mind sense complex? The gross matter body, I sense was identified with the gross matter and subtle matter. In jnanam, in the wake of the knowledge, I sense is shifted cognitively from the body, mind sense complex. Now I is identified with abstract, formless, subtlest consciousness. Understand? Before, identity was the grossest body. Then even subtle mind, the subtler pranas, subtle prana, subtle sense powers, and subtler mind, and from there the matter to consciousness. This is knowledge has done. So jnanam, identity, is with consciousness. The I sense is identified with the consciousness. Dying to all wrong notions. Isn't it? In fact, jivan muktihi. This person is free while living. Jivan mukti. He is free from all the jiva bhavas. See, it's very difficult to, very, very difficult to resolve the identity with shift assets. Ahankaraha. So having identity with the body, mind, sense complex is ahankara. It means mistaking the body, mind, sense complex, adhyasa, I know I told you, is the expression of ahankara. Okay, wrong identity. And then thereby having my sense, having sense of possession in all possessions, one's profession and also family. Family, friends, associates, acquaintances, possessions, professions. In all of them, possession means all forms of wealth. All forms of possessions. People own my house. I have this, the ship is mine, the house is mine, this farm is mine, I have this much wealth. Isn't it? So all possessions. Mamakaraha. Sense of possession, possessiveness, mamakaraha. This is mine. This is mine, mamakara. With reference to what? With reference to all possessions. With reference to profession. With reference to family, friends, associates, acquaintances. Isn't it? So, I sense and my sense is jiva bhavaha. And then, it's very difficult to be, to get let go of the anxiety about people who are very close to us, especially the householders with the family, my children. Not easy. How much your jnanam comes, it's not easy at all. And repeatedly, the more and more and more we see this fact, really seeing the fact, understanding the fact, accepting the fact, and seeing what is changeable, what is unchangeable, and seeing thereby recognizing what reality is, how this reality is essentially everything is the same, one and the same. So this being endowed with this vision of the reality, obtaining as one's own self, will help one gradually free oneself from the hold of all wrong notions and anxiety associated with I sense, ahankara, and my sense, mamakara. The more and more we understand, there'll be actually even the mental disturbances. The mental disturbances, the frequency of disturbances will be reduced. Intensity of the disturbances will be reduced. Even to recover oneself from any suffering, affliction, the period, the time of recovery, the time one takes to recover from any affliction also will be reduced. Is all actually Jivan Mukti, gradual. Is it clear? So emotional afflictions, disturbances, the frequency of those emotional problems, disturbances will be gradually reduced. The intensity of emotional afflictions will gradually be reduced. The time one takes to recover from afflictions also will gradually get reduced. Gradually. It doesn't take place overnight. Okay? And gradually, when a person really sees, I am consciousness, and he does not see that I only consciousness is consciousness obtaining only within this body mind is complex. He should see consciousness obtaining in all the living beings. The abstract, absolute, formless reality obtaining in the form of consciousness doesn't obtain only in this body mind is complex. It is only consciousness which is there in all the minds, in all the living beings. The person who has this is what recognition of one's real nature being consciousness, thereby seeing that consciousness not only in one's own body, mind is complex, that consciousness is not limited by the boundaries, peripheries of the body, mind is complex, it pervades everything, it is there in all living beings. And not only that, it is this consciousness is there in all the non-living things also. Consciousness is there not only in living beings, not also in non-living things, in all the elements, in all, I'm repeating, Shankara Bhagavatpada says here, in all the living beings, in all non-living things, in all elements, in all elementals, all the mobile beings and all the immobile beings, in all the sentient, insentient beings, in everything in this universe, he sees this consciousness being the only essential reality of everything. And he sees the consciousness obtaining in the form of existence in all living, non-living things. How is consciousness in all non-living things? Consciousness alone obtains in the form of existence of all non-living things. What is chit, the reality which is in the form of consciousness in one's own mind, which is in the form of consciousness in all the living beings, is there in the form of sat-sat, existence in all non-living things. Which means consciousness is there in all non-living things, but consciousness is not recognizable. Which means the swarupam of reality being consciousness is not recognizable in non-living things. Reality is there. Okay? The consciousness being the nature of reality is not recognizable in non-living things because there is no manifestation. Is it clear? But how is it now in the form of existence, sat? How? Let me tell you. When you say wall is means wall enjoys existence. Wall has existence. Is stands for existence. Isn't it true? When you say mountain is stands for existence. Air is stands for existence. Fire is stands for existence. That easiness is existence, and existence enjoyed by every non-living thing, inanimate being, is actually consciousness. Consciousness alone is in the form of existence. Because existence presupposes cognition, knowledge. Is it clear? And cognition means there is a thought. And thought means what? There's a swarupam of thought, which is consciousness. Okay, any object which enjoys existence does not exist outside of consciousness. Is, light is, sound is, means sound enjoys existence. Mountain is means mountain enjoys existence. Air is means air enjoys existence. What is this existence? Chair, no, when you say light is, wind is, air is, light means that existence presupposes cognition, knowledge. I told you already, any object, what is cognition? Relevant vritti must rise, and that vritti through sense organs pervades the object, assumes the form of an object. And in the mind, you have that space akara vritti, light akara vritti, a thought assuming a given form of a given object, and that thought shines. That's how cognition takes place, isn't it? And what is there as a swarupam of every thought? It's a space cognition, or water cognition, or mountain cognition, earth cognition. Any cognition is what? Thought plus consciousness. Is it clear? So without the thought, without the cognition, without the cognition, object will be as good as non-existent. Is it clear? Without the cognition, object would be as good as non-existent. Therefore, what is that which lends existence? So, existence enjoyed by anything and everything, a living being and a non-living thing. Everything is what? Consciousness. So, you are experiencing existence always. Consciousness is in the form of existence of all everything here. Like water is in the form of existence of ocean. Consciousness is in the form of existence of all forms, names and functions, living and non-living things. Is it clear? And that exists, when you look at the reality obtaining in the form of existence of everything here, is a Brahma. Existence is implied by the term Brahma. What is existence? Swarupam of the Vastu. What is the nature of reality? Reality, abstract, formless reality, is of the nature of consciousness, existence. But where do you understand consciousness? We arrive at reality in terms of its nature of consciousness in one's own mind as the swarupam of the thought in every cognition. A swarupam of the knower, I. And the same reality, which is of the nature of consciousness, is arrived at in terms of its nature of existence, obtaining in all the objects, non-living things. Is it clear? Sat-chit. Now the same consciousness, reality, the formless abstract reality which is of the nature of consciousness, obtaining as the swarupam of every thought, which alone is there as its existence in all the beings, is there in the form of anandaha in a wise person. Okay, this chitti sat and atma and brahma mean the same. They are not two. Sat is chit, chitti is sat. And which is of the nature of limitlessness, anantam. Therefore implied by the term brahma. We saw yesterday why I am saying here all this. Because these people, wise people, this did not even see. First of all, they discern the truth obtaining in the form of consciousness as a surupam of the thought in every cognition. Then for them this consciousness is not just only within their own body mentions complex. They see the same consciousness being the truth of essential nature of all the living beings. They see the same consciousness obtaining in the form of existence of all the non-living things. And they see the same consciousness obtaining in the form of happiness in the mind of a wise person. Okay. And those are the people, for them, they see that I am consciousness. And everything is consciousness, existence is consciousness, limitlessness is consciousness, fullness is consciousness, happiness is consciousness. There is nothing which is not consciousness implied by the term Atma or Brahma. I am consciousness, therefore I am everything, I am the whole. So such people are dheeraha. Those people, asmat lokat pretya. Asmat lokat pretya means after having departed from this physical body. after exhausting their prarabdha karma. They're already free from doership and enjoyership. They're already free from sanchita karma. They're already free from agami karma. They do not have any sanchitam karma. Why? See, sanchitam karma is punya papams are there, agami karma is there, as long as I is identified with the body, mind, sense complex. In knowledge, when you cognitively, this person shifts his identity from body, mind, sense complex to consciousness, and repeatedly he sees aham consciousness, aham atma, aham atma, aham atma, aham consciousness, aham brahma. When repeatedly he sees this fact, when he ascertains this, Achya person, he is even when he is alive, he is jivan muktaha. He is already free from all wrong notions. The doership is resolved, enjoyership is resolved, means where is the karma for this person? Where is karma for consciousness? Consciousness does not have punyam, papam, doership. Consciousness does not talk. I only did this work. I achieved this. I suffer a lot. I enjoy pleasure. Does consciousness speak? So consciousness is free from doership, no enjoyership, no punyam, no papam. This, because of this understanding, even when alive, this person is already jivan muktaha. He is free while living. He lives like, if you look at a wise person, his life, he also eats, drinks, he also does his work duties, and he is also living like an ajnani. But emotionally he is free, absolutely free from emotional dependence. All these wrong notions, he is absolutely free from the hold of all misperception. Okay, being subject to this misperception, okay, having this erroneous perception is in fact loss. This is what drowning in the ocean of samsara is, the loss. There is no gain as such. What is loss? Isn't it? Remaining in samsara is loss. And having wrong perception and suffering because of the all emotional trauma is because of our erroneous notions. Therefore, that is loss. And the person who is free from such a loss, okay, is free from a loss means what? Gaining, having gained his real nature in terms of knowledge. Not really gaining. This person is free from a bondage of karma even while living. His jivan muktaha, prarabdha gets exhausted. What happens? Look at this. His physical body gets disintegrated and becomes one with Virat. Physical body joins Viradishvara. Subtle body resolves, joins Hiranyagarbheshvara. Even his Karna Shariram becomes one with Antaryamishvara. The whole all personalities collapse. Okay? Physical body joins Virat. Mind, Sukshma, all subtle aspects resolve in Hiranyagarbha. Prajnaya doesn't resolve. Ajna, no, even Karna Shariram resolves in Antaryamishvara, which means Virat, Hiranyagarbha, Antaryamishvara, three different functional names of only Ishvara. Understand? So, his Anatma, from the standpoint of Upadhis, wise person becomes Ishvara. In the standpoint of Upadhis, wise person becomes Ishvara. Becoming Ishvara means what? Even Ajnani also becomes Ishvara on a physical level. physical body gets, once the sukshma leaves the physical body of a wise, for a wise person, the physical body gets disintegrated and become one with elements. Virat. Gross matter joins the gross matter. And subtle body, I tell you, for a mind of a wise person, is free from the hold of all emotions. Therefore, an ajnanam, which is the seed of the mind, ajnanam has been resolved. No more ajnanam. Aham Brahma Asmi, Sarvam Brahma, Sarvam Khalvidam Brahma, everything is Brahma, Aham Brahma, Aham Idam Saram, I am the whole. There is no more ignorance. What I am, ajnanam is not there. Therefore, mind is also what? Blank. Mind also will resolve. Dissolve. Mind dissolve. The whole, all subtle aspects become one with Hiranyagarbha. Means, because it remains as part of the subtle universe. And Karna Shariram also resolves into Antaryami. Means all five layers of personality, material layers of personality, resolve and become one with Ishvara. Therefore, wise persons, upadhis become Ishvara. From the standpoint of upadhis, wise person becomes Ishvara. What happens to Atma, consciousness? Anatma, upadhis become Ishvara. Upahitam chaitanyam of a wise person, what happens? What does it become? Nothing. He does not become anything. Because consciousness cannot become anything. Because consciousness is of the nature of changelessness. Consciousness remains as consciousness. Atma remains as Atma. Like what? When there's a pot space, when the enclosure pot is broken, pot space does not become space. Pot space does not become space. Pot space remains as space. Because pot space is only a temporary name the space had because of the association of the enclosure called pot. Temporary name. The space never became pot space. It only had a temporary qualification it had. And that qualification gets removed along with the enclosure, destruction of the enclosure part. So space does not become, part space does not become space. Part space was already a space and it remains as space, continues to be a space like that. From the standpoint of upahitam of the wise person, the Atma, the consciousness aspect of the wise person, he remains as Brahma, Atma. So wise person remains as Atma, the Brahma, the standpoint of Upahitam Chaitanyam. The standpoint of Upadis, he becomes one with Ishvara. Why say he becomes Ishvara? Because they all undergo changes. Is it clear? Body, all matter is subject to change. Whereas consciousness is of the nature of changelessness. Before it was consciousness, Atma. After Jnanam also consciousness. Consciousness, Atma remains as Atma. Brahman remains as Brahma. Is it clear? This is called what? Videha Muktihi. Because Sukshma is not there, this person does not assume another body and again there is no rebirth. Atma never had first birth. Therefore, Atma doesn't have, never had rebirth also. This mind alone was coming again and again. Okay, the I sense identified with the body, my mind was returning again and again and again. Is it clear? Because of the ignorance. When the ignorance is resolved, mind is resolved, then videha muktihi. That's what? Dhiraha asmat lokat pretya amrutaha bhavanti. Means they remain as immortal Atma Brahma. Again, they remain as immortal Atma Brahma. This is called Videha Mukti. He is talking about the wise people. But how do they become Vichitya? How do they become wise first of all? How do people become wise? And after becoming wise, how do they become immortal? Okay? Vichitya, important verb. Vichitya means having discerned, having cognitively separated, cognitively discerned. Discerned what? Discerned their own essential nature, Atma, the consciousness, being the only consciousness obtaining in all the beings, obtaining in all the non-living things, consciousness obtaining in of consciousness in living beings, consciousness obtaining in the form of existence in all the living beings, consciousness obtaining in the form of anandaha in all the living beings, all the wise people's minds. That's why bhuteshu bhuteshu vichitya. Twice the word bhutam is used. Bhutam means living being. Bhutam also means element. Bhuteshu bhuteshu means not bhuteshu in all the living beings. In all the beings, in everything. Now another bhuteshu is there. So in all the non-living things also, in all the elements, in all the elementals, in all the mobile beings, in all the immobile beings, in all sentient, insentient beings, bhuteshu bhuteshu, in all of them, in everything he sees Brahma. He sees Atma. Who sees Atma? The wise person. He sees Atma means what is Atma? For him, Atma is the self. The abstract reality, consciousness implied by the term Atma is the content of I, and he sees the content of I as the only content obtaining in all the beings. Bhuteshu bhuteshu vichitya. You know, this discerning the self, the oneness of the self, oneness of the reality, oneness of consciousness, oneness of existence in all the beings presupposes, actually requires subtle, sharp intellect. Okay? Bhuteshu bhuteshu vichitya. Madatma sarvabhutatma. The teacher teaches, supposed to teach in Guru Gita, the text called Guru Gita. This verse comes. I bow to the teacher. The teacher means not actually physically what you see. The teacher, because of the presence of which Bhagavan, which Atma, the capacity to communicate is possible. Sakshat, జ్ఞానం ఈశ్వర. హూ ఇస్ ఈశ్వర? ట్రూత్ ఈజ్ ఈశ్వర. సో మదాత్మ సర్వభూతాత్మ, మైసెల్ఫ్ ఇస్ సెల్ఫ్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ ది బీయింగ్స్, నాట్ ఓన్లీ లివింగ్ బీయింగ్స్, ది సెల్ఫ్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ ది నాన్ లివింగ్ థింగ్స్ ఆల్సో. హౌ ఇస్ ఇట్, హౌ కెన్ ఐ అండర్స్టాండ్ దేర్ ఇస్ కాన్షియస్నెస్? ది ఎగ్జిస్టెన్స్ యు ఎక్స్పీరియన్స్ ఆర్ నాట్. వాల్ ఈజ్ మీన్స్ వాల్ ఎంజాయ్స్ ఎగ్జిస్టెన్స్. యు కాంట్ సీ ద మీనింగ్ ప్యూర్ ఎగ్జిస్టెన్స్ అన్అసోసియేటెడ్ విత్ ది ఫార్మ్, నేమ్ అండ్ ఫంక్షన్. కెన్ యూ సీ ప్యూర్ ఎగ్జిస్టెన్స్? Can you experience pure existence? They say pure existence, existence unassociated with any form, name and function. Can you see? No. But do you experience existence associated with the form, name and function? Yes. World is means you already are experiencing world, enjoying existence. Do you see that? World is means what? World enjoys existence. Space is means what? Space enjoys existence. Time is means time enjoys existence. Fruit is, leaf is, tree is, mosquito is, elk, bird is, waves are, means ocean is, means is. When you say, you see, you experience existence. What experiencing is what? Manifestation of reality in the form of existence enjoyed by the forms, names and functions. Okay? That existence is, okay, you see? And what is pure existence? What happens to, when the whole world dissolves? When the whole world dissolves, what happened to existence? Pure existence is in the form of pure consciousness. When the whole world disappears, when there's no manifestation of knowledge, when the thoughts are resolved, nothing shines, then the world is not non-existent. World is unmanifest. The world is unmanifest means world is not non-recognizable. The world is unmanifest means the world, see, world is non-recognizable. Non-recognizability should not be mistaken for non-existence. Okay? Why the world is unmanifest? Because there is no manifestation of knowledge. For the world to shine, world needs the light of consciousness. The entire world, all the elements and elementals, living, non-living things, including time and space, can enjoy the status of being existent, can shine only in the light of manifestation of knowledge. There's no manifestation, the whole world becomes unmanifest, non-recognizable. Which means, for the world to have the status of being existent, for it to become manifest, is dependent on manifestation of knowledge. Is it clear? I mean, thoughts must be there. So there is a time thoughts do resolve, no manifestation, the world becomes unmanifest. Then what happens to consciousness? Consciousness is as consciousness. Then where is the existence of the world? Existence remains as pure consciousness. So pure existence is pure consciousness. They are one and the same. It's okay. But you can never recognize pure consciousness or pure existence. Only consciousness can be recognized. only when there is a manifestation. And you recognize consciousness when there is manifestation of consciousness, and manifest consciousness is also recognized as manifest existence, okay, in all non-living things. Is it clear? Pure existence is equal to pure consciousness. Manifestation of knowledge is equal to manifestation of existence also. And where do you see existence? Manifest existence means existence enjoyed by, associated with forms, names and functions. World is means what? World plus existence. Form, name and function plus existence. Is it clear? Now, vichitya, vichitya, discerning this manifest existence from the all the forms, names and functions, all the living beings and all the non-living things, and this, those who see this existence, Brahma, as the consciousness, non-different from consciousness, obtaining as the self. Okay, bhuteshu bhuteshu vichitya dhiraha. Such people, they become free from the hold of all wrong notions. Therefore, they enjoy freedom while living. And after the prarabdha is over, their all their upadhis become resolved, one with the Ishvara. In the form of Virat, Hiranyagarbha, Antaryami, then Upahitam remains as one Atma, consciousness, Brahma. Okay? This is a very good example of pot and space. When the pot enclosure is broken, pot space, there is no pot space. The temporary name goes, it remains as the space, total space. Understand? Bhuteshu bhuteshu vichitya dhiraha pretya asmat lokat amrtaha bhavanti. Therefore, mantra says, iha chet is an indeclinable expression which means if, not chet. In Sanskritam, chet means if. Headache is chet. If headache is. Chet means if. Iha avedit chet. Iha avedit chet. If it were to know, avedit, avedit, look at it now, avedit, avedit, chet. If it were to know, where, iha, here, in this world, when you are living in this world, as a human being, enjoying this precious human body, here, you understand how superior, how important this life is, so precious. To get this physical, human physical body is not an easy joke. We are so privileged. We are, this is a blessing. So, iha means here. Here means what? In this world. At present, when you are enjoying this human physical body, which is a blessing, very rare. No creature in the world has this possibility of discovering the truth, discovering the freedom, escaping from the samsara. No creature is eligible. and we were only, this is the adhikari shariram. This body is very important. Without this physical body, it's impossible for a person to become an adhikari for moksha and jnana. No other living creature is qualified to attain jnanam or moksha. Only a human being is blessed because his body, human body, only in this human body you can enjoy this unique mind. And with this mind, with this human shariram, a human being alone is eligible to discover freedom, to discover the truth. No other living creature has this possibility. Therefore he says, and then how many we do not know. We have from timeless time, we have been accumulating sanchita karma. Sanchita karma has been there. Not for Atma, but sanchita karma has been there because of ignorance. And then we do not know how many. It seems that 8.4 millions of species. Don't ask whether I counted. I just heard 8.4 millions of species. In 8 millions you take it. Species. So which species, which janma will be there, which body we will assume, we do not know. One is, and in between, some punyam worked out, we all got this human body. So very precious human, only in this human, being born a human being, itself is a narajanma durlabham. In fact, there's a beautiful verse, you know that, Durlabham Trayam Eva Etat. Remember that verse? Durlabham Trayam Eva Etat. Very difficult, very, very rare to get three factors to have is Manushyatvam, to be born a human being, to enjoy the status of being a human being. One needs Daiva Anugraham. Because of grace, some punyam, we got this manushyatvam. The status of being a human being is possible because of Daiva Anugraha Hetukam. Not only this human thing, manushyatvam, also mumukshatvam. Even being born a human being, how many people discover the ultimate goal being moksha? Purushartha Nischayaha. People are so distracted and then completely scattered their attention all over. How many human beings in the world, you know, really discover the ultimate goal of human life being moksha? How many people are convinced of the fact this human life is lived ultimately for discovering fullness, happiness, which is already there as one's own real nature? And moksha is a choiceless end. I told it many times in the class. This I'll repeat in every class. Next time I come also I'll repeat this. You know why? Because it's another fact. Don't think Swamiji is repeating this. Because moksha being an ultimate choiceless end, choiceless. We have no way. You have to discover in one janma or the other. I think I'll postpone it. No, I think I'll ignore it. I'm very happy with these things. I don't want moksha. There's no choice. It's a choiceless end. Okay? And discovering this fact and being convinced of the fact again needs Bhagavan's grace. So manushyatvam is dependent on, is because of Bhagavan's grace. Daiva anugrahetukam manushyatvam. Daiva anugraha hetukam mumukshutvam. Even, and also association with wise people, association with, you know, great people who live a life of dharma and who can help you to remind you of your goal, can always remind you of the way of life enjoyed by the shastram. And who always committed to the pursuit of knowledge, or who live the Shastram, life enjoyed by the Shastram, such great people, Mahapurusha Samshrayaha. All these three, to have the three, we must have Punyam. To have Manushyatvam, to have Mukshutvam, and to have Mahapurusha Samshraya. Not easy, must have Punyam. Very rare this is. Durlabham Trayameva. All these three are very durlabham, very rare to have. And having got this, should we make use of it or lose it? Having got it, very rare thing we have got, and we must not lose this opportunity, miss this opportunity. Isn't it? We should not miss this opportunity. We must make the best use of our span of human life ordained by Bhagavan. Our focus must be on Yamoksha. We must know, understand this fact, Moksha is my choiceless goal, and Jnanam means Jnanam itself is Moksha. After attaining Jnanam, no experience, nothing is required, knowledge is Moksha. If you see yourself, when you discern consciousness being the swarupam of every thought and every cognition, and your identity is with the consciousness, means what? Already you are free. What else do you need to attain? As consciousness, you are free. Knowledge is freedom. Once you know this value of knowledge, and how can you not be committed to the pursuit of knowledge? What the mantra says, Iha ched avedit satyamasti atha. If you discover the truth, if you know the truth, then there is truth in one's life. Iha ched, iha avedit ched, iha avedit ched. Satyamasti, truth is there in life. Why? There's what is only truth. There's only one truth, which is your nature. The only truth obtaining as your nature is the truth of everything here. There's no second consciousness. There's no second reality other than consciousness. There's no second thing other than consciousness. If at all something else is there, this matter, apart from consciousness. What else is there? Thoughts onwards. All the thoughts obtaining in all the minds, which constitute the minds, from thoughts onwards. Thoughts, all subtle aspects, all the physical forms, all external world of objects, all of them are just the non-substantial forms, names and functions. Non-substantial, because consciousness is the substance of the entire material forms, names and functions. Because the matter is non-different from consciousness. Matter is non-different from consciousness. But consciousness is distinct, though not distant, distancelessly, intimately associated. But still, consciousness is distinct from the matter. Consciousness is the only satyam. And you have to negate this. The big leap comes here. Consciousness is the only truth, is okay. This matter is consciousness. This is the biggest leap. Matter is consciousness. Why? Matter is non-different from consciousness. Therefore, matter is consciousness. How is it non-different from consciousness? Because it is as good as the effect. How is it is as good as the effect? Because matter does not have independent existence at all. Therefore, matter is non-countable as a parallel reality. Matter is consciousness. Consciousness is not matter, but matter is consciousness. Consciousness is distinct from matter, but matter is non-different from consciousness. Is it clear? Therefore, consciousness being the truth of all forms, names and functions, it is consciousness which alone obtains in the form of existence of the whole. And that consciousness is of the nature of timelessness, is of the nature of limitlessness, time-wise limitless, spatially limitless, object-wise limitless, and I am that consciousness. Everything else is consciousness, therefore, aham idam sarvam, I am the whole. Okay? This is the vision, this is the fact of the vision. If it is understood, a person understands, then avedet chet at satyamasti. There is fact. A person, if he understands this fact, he has truth in his life. Because there is no truth other than Atma. Understand? Otherwise, na chet, if not. Suppose we were not very serious, do not understand the preciousness of human span of life. Do not understand this. Na chet, iha avedit. Suppose you miss the opportunity, mahati vinashtihi, loss is infinite. Loss is great. Mahati vinashtihi. What is loss here? There is no gain. I already explained to you. There is no gain. Recognizing what you are essentially already is what? Gain. Gain as it were. But what is vinashtihi? Infinite loss means what? Infinite means you will continue to be in samsara. This is the loss. Non-recognition of one's real nature is loss. As a result of non-recognition of what I am, what one's real nature is, being subject to entertain wrong notions about the self is loss. Being subject to samsara is loss. Being subject to all forms of emotional afflictions is loss. Okay? That is what is loss. Great loss means, in fact, there is no greater gain, greater accomplishment, bigger achievement than attainment of knowledge of the truth obtaining as one's own self. What are the greatest of the achievements in life? There is no greater achievement than discovering what you are. Because why it is greatest? Because it is this only knowledge will help you resolve all your problems simultaneously for good. All human misery, all forms of problems will resolve for good only in jnanam. We'll come back and continue tomorrow. Okay? I finished sort of, but I had to say a few more things for this mantra, then we'll continue. We'll come back and continue tomorrow. Yesterday, by slip of a tongue, I mentioned who are the Dvaitins. Sankhyas are the Dvaitis. Nyaya Vaisheshikas and also our modern scientists they do not see as parallel reality, but they take matter as the cause. Okay. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate. Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om.
Thanks, Samaji. The question is from earlier. And it's in regards to the focus, to the word focus. Can you explain? Something wasn't clear to me. We talked about cognition, vritti, plus consciousness. And then you gave the example of the key. And you said focus must be there. So are you using focus and consciousness synonymously?
No. See, attention of the mind. Consciousness is always there. The mind, the attention is on the part of the mind. So, in waking state, when there is manifestation of knowledge, of existence of one's own self, it's waking state. The mind is functional, sense organs are all functional. Then what is the job of sense organs? What do these sense organs do? They do not have any control. They're just functioning. They just report. Suppose you go and stand in front of a mirror, what does the mirror do? Just reflects your face. The sense organs only report. Eyes are open means you cannot tell them, come on, don't tell me that there's light is there. They do not have any say. They just report light is. Ears are open means sounds are reported to the mind. Like that, all different objects are reported to the mind by the sense organs. It's all naturally happening. Even though so many objects are perceived, even though they all see, the mind does come in contact with the sense objects in the waking state. That is why they all shine. See, for you, just sitting here, things around me shine for us. For me, for you, all of you. How is it possible? In sleep, nothing shines. Now you are sitting here, everything shines around, things around you shine. Shine means you know they are all there. The trees are outside, the light is there, sun is there, everything is there. People around me, all the objects in the world shine in the waking state because the fact is mind comes in contact with the objects through the sense organs. Therefore, the external world of objects shines. It's there. But specifically, if you do not pay attention to things, they won't get registered. When I see, there's a tree. But what is here, my attention is paid to what is specifically. Okay, specifically. Then the thought through the sense organ, a given sense organ, a specific thought, relevant thought, assumes the form of an object. Suppose that I see, what is there? Nice flower, nice plant. I pay attention. Then the thought assumes the form of the specific object which is, really focused. Even though so many things I see, one object I place attention. then there is a corresponding vrittihi. Now, vriksha akara vrittihi, tree akara vrittihi rises. So many things are seen, but it's not specifically, the attention is not focused on everything that I see. So they don't get registered. Even though they are seen, many things are seen, but they are seen. Why they are seen? Because eyes are open. Eyes are functional. Because mind is functional. Mind comes in contact with those, through the sense organ, through the eyes, with all those objects. Therefore, eyes are seeing. Therefore, things are seen. But all the things which are seen do not get registered. Only the object which is seen and which is specifically focused, attention is focused on a specific object, then that alone gets registered. Okay, when registration of that form happens, means the specific thought, relevant thought, assumes the form of an object, and then because the thought rises, that vriksha akara vrittihi rises, that vritti shines in the presence of already existing consciousness. That's called vriksha jnanam, knowledge of the tree. Okay, and we say that knowledge, which means once knowledge of the tree happens, you say what? Oh, this is a coconut tree. Specific, because attention is focused. Every day I saw so many trees in the ashram, but I don't remember what all trees are there. I saw so many trees. But I go back to London. People ask me what all you saw there in that ashram. Yeah, there's so many trees. I saw so many trees. I don't really remember what all trees were there. But now I can say, yes, I saw many coconut trees. I saw padilla trees. I ate a fox also. Sapudla is the most popular fruit for me. What I'm saying, see, where attention is focused, things are perceived, but all the objects perceived do not get registered. But without perception, registration is not possible. But perception itself is not enough for registration. Seen, heard, attention is focused, there that particular akara vrittihi. Then there is jnanam. Even here you're all listening. Attention is focused means vritti jnanam. Okay? Jnanam takes place. For example, we are listening now, listening to the teaching. And when I talk, the knowledge in my mind, in what form does knowledge obtain? Whatever I'm communicating, in what form the knowledge obtain? In the form of a thought. Okay? When I communicate, it comes through my mouth in the form of sounds. Words. Words are sounds. And those sounds enter into your ear and go to your mind. Because your attention is focused on the sounds, what is being talked, what is being communicated, and continuously the corresponding cognitions keep on rising. Okay? Which means the vrittis, corresponding thoughts rise. You pick up. Amazing. When you talk, it looks as though big thing. It's very quick. Very, very quick. Every word I say, there is a, you're receiving that there. Attention is focused. And the corresponding vritti, relevant vritti rises. When the vritti rises, shabdakara vritti. Shabdakara vritti, which assumes the form of a sound, that vritti rises, and then because consciousness is already there, it becomes a cognition. Is it clear? Luckily, consciousness is always there. What the thoughts have to rise for the cognition to be there. The thought itself is very subtle. We have to understand thought in terms of jnana. Oh, knowledge is means there is a thought. And how to understand consciousness is also there. When the thought is not there also, what is consciousness? Thoughts come and go. Even then consciousness is always there. The thoughts come, knowledge is. Knowledge is means, from the standpoint of knowledge which is there, we have to make out, oh, thought has risen. Because of which knowledge is possible. Is it clear? Does it make sense? I do understand. I think you what you want to know is how specific cognition takes place. That's what you want to know.
No, I think you answered my question.
I've answered?
Yeah.
Okay, that's good. See, so many things. This again, I'll talk to you again because I'm going to talk to you the process of knowledge. I haven't just touched the point here. It become clearer. See, one good thing is, yesterday I told you one thing. Knowledge, cognition, knowledge or experience. I use these terms. Definitely there are two factors involved. One is consciousness. This consciousness is the abstract reality. There's nothing subtler than consciousness. It is formless and you understand. Even the name consciousness is because of the nature of being conscious. So consciousness is always there. It is no, when the time is there, time is not there. It's always there. It's beginningless, endless, changeless reality. Always there. So consciousness is important for the the source of knowledge is consciousness. The source of knowledge is pure knowledge, reality. But what comes and goes is vritti. So what is vritti? Vritti is Sanskrit word for thought. What is a thought? Thought itself, thought is behind the sense organ. Therefore, thought can never become an object of perception. Thought can never become an object of sense perception. Thought cannot be known through sense organs because thought is behind the sense organ. Many thoughts, not one thought. No thought can be perceived by any sense organ. Because thoughts alone lend consciousness to the sense organs. Thoughts can never be perceived through sense organs. But how can you understand there is a thought? How do you say, Swamiji, thought is not? Because thoughts cannot be seen through sense organs. Thought is available for sakshi pratyaksham, not for indriya pratyaksham, not indriya gocharam, but sakshi pratyaksham is available for witness of the consciousness. Is witnessed, thoughts are witnessed by consciousness. How do you say that? When the thoughts rise, thoughts are, that is when mind is functional. The thought must be there, only then even you yourself can know your own existence. The thought is not there, even knowledge of existence of the consciousness, even your own sorrow, yourself, you are which means consciousness is, you are there in the form of abstract, formless reality consciousness, always. But the knowledge of existence is not there. Knowledge of the existence of the self is not there. Knowledge of the existence of the world also is not there. The knowledge is not there. We say there is ignorance of the existence. There is ignorance of the existence of the self and the world. Is it clear? There is total ignorance. Then there is no experience of anything here. So when we say, that is when we say, whenever there is total ignorance of existence of the self and the world, there is no knowledge. Knowledge of the existence means all the thoughts are resolved, thoughts are not there. Mind is non-functional. So how to understand, whenever there is knowledge of the existence, and the knowledge of existence itself is a manifestation of knowledge, and there is a thought. Understand the thought in terms of knowledge. Okay? So, knowledge is means thought has come. Knowledge is not there means thought has gone. Knowledge is, thought has come. Knowledge is, thought's gone. Knowledge is not. Thought comes, knowledge is. Thought goes, ignorance is. Thought comes, knowledge is. Thought goes, knowledge is not. And then knowledge is not, what knowledge is not? Source of knowledge, pure knowledge is. But manifest knowledge is not. Okay? Knowledge is not, thought is not. Knowledge is, thought is there. Thought is, knowledge is. Thought goes, knowledge goes. That means no change happens on the part of consciousness. Thoughts alone change. That's why I gave the example in the class. Light is now, isn't it? Light doesn't come and go. The opaque things are brought, they shine in the light. Opaque things are taken away, light continues to be there. Light illumines the blankness, emptiness of space. They fill the hall with lots of things. Light illumines what all things are here. Not by action. The light's nature is that it illumines chairs, it illumines people, it illumines everything here. All of us go out, everything is made empty here. Light illumines still emptiness. Understand? Like consciousness is always there, changelessly. Thoughts come, consciousness illumines presence of thoughts. Thoughts go away, consciousness illumines absence of thoughts. Thoughts, mind is full of thoughts, consciousness illumines mind, all the thoughts. And all thoughts resolved, consciousness illumines blankness of mind. Is it clear? The thought must rise. And thought does not lend existence to consciousness. Thought comes and consciousness has the recognizability. In fact, if not, not I will tell you. It is very simple. In Vidyaranya Swami, in one of the Panchadashi text, he mentions this. See, there is always, even if we go to, even locally, watch some, of course we all don't watch, people go to local cinema, they watch. You know, there's a screen. The screen doesn't move. Screen is there. But when the film is shown, and the characters come, the film is keep on rolling, and the whole, so many characters, the people who watch these movies, their attention is completely captured by the characters, the people who are crying or laughing or, you know, the characters, different people who act in the movie, their movements, the dance, the music, everything, the places where they live, where they go around, our complete attention is drawn by the movements and colors and motions. You know, attention is not at all drawn by the screen. Without light, imagine this light. Why? Because what is one, what is uniform, what is colorless, what does anything which doesn't move cannot draw your attention. So in Vidyayana Swami's example, he said there's a stage on which a group of actors come and enact. You can take it as suppose a group of people come and dance, perform a dance program. And then all of us are watching. And all our attention is grabbed totally by the person who is dancing. The person's dance movements, the expressions, facial expressions, the hip expressions, the movements, the steps, the music, everything draws our attention. Completely mind. Nobody in the program who is watching that program really pays attention to one important thing called light. Imagine the light is not there. Light doesn't dance. Light doesn't sing. Light is not colorful. Light doesn't shine. Light doesn't have any ornaments. Just light is. But minus light. Imagine, suppose the power cut happens. No disconnection. The light, all the lights go off. What can you see? Can you see their movements, the steps? Light goes. Can you see the dress, the ornament they're wearing? Nothing. How they move, the whole dance program will be a big flop, minus light. What can you see there? What can you appreciate? Oh, how pretty this dancer is. How nicely she's dancing. Look at this way she puts the steps. Look at the costume she's wearing. What can you appreciate? Okay. Minus light. No movement. Nothing can be enjoyed. But even the light is so important, our attention, which draws our attention, light or the dance, the dancer's movement, which draws our attention, tell me. People go only to watch dance, not to watch light. But still, how important light is. Is it clear? Attention draws only the dance, not the light. When the dancers go away, light is, we do not know the value or importance of light. The light draws light also. If you see the import light when the dance is happening. Dancers go away, light is plain light. Non-recognizable. Light becomes recognizable in the presence of all these lots of things. Is it clear? Light becomes more recognizable. Oh, because of light, all these are possible. All these colors can be seen. And similarly, consciousness is always there, one uniform, changeless, unchanging. Always consciousness. Minus consciousness. No thoughts can survive. Okay? The thought comes means consciousness becomes recognizable. We say, that's why it's manifested. Manifestation means what? Becoming recognizable, interactable is manifestation. Thoughts are not there, non-recognizable. Being non-recognizable is what? Being pure, unassociated with forms, names and functions. It's just the consciousness, there's no adjective. Because unqualified consciousness. Manifest means qualified with the names, forms, functions. Okay? Light plus dancer is a qualified light. Light minus dancer is unqualified light. Is it clear? Like that. So the thoughts come, then light consciousness becomes recognizable. The thought itself, thought exists because of consciousness. Thought shines because of consciousness. Thought becomes conscious and sentient because of consciousness. And thought is capable of assuming the form of an object and illumining, okay, the form. That's a part because of consciousness. Is it clear? Thought has to rise. So what Shastram says, if the mind is active, sense organs are open, mind comes in contact with objects, means the objects shine. All the objects shine. But what is it really which gets registered in your mind? That is vritti jnanam. So it has to be, something has to be registered, means attention must be paid. Is it clear? Like that, lot of things we do pay attention also. In the eating, you see what you're eating, what is there, what should I eat, what should I not eat, what does agree with my system. Always we know. That's why you take what you want, you don't want to take, you leave it. So where I'm driving, attention is there. What is coming in front of me? What is by the side of me? Who's coming behind me? When driving, you have to pay attention to all that. So we do pay attention, we do have such cognitions, constantly changing cognitions. And these cognitions change because thoughts change. Thoughts have to change. Otherwise, if you see one lorry alone will be there. After lorry, car comes, car behind, car another person comes, there will be something else is coming here. Isn't it? Okay, again, the traffic, the signal comes, I have to stop here. So many thoughts have to rise. Which means, all these thoughts shine. Because in every thought, what is inseparably there, like how in every opaque, how what is inseparably, intimately associated is the light, so in every thought, as the very swarupam, as the very truth of every thought, what is consciousness? That is what is patibodha viditam matam. Patibodha viditam matam. In fact, one thing which you can never miss, what is always experienced is yourself, which is consciousness. Now, what does Shastram do? Shastram only helps you recognize what you are already cognizing. By helping you drag your attention from thought to consciousness. I don't need to create the light here. I don't need to do anything here. Your only attention is only on the dancers. So I have to help you. I only have to help you shift, drag your attention from the dancers, the dance, the movements, the colors, all the distracting things from there. I have to help you drag the attention to the light. Oh, see this light. Because of which all this possible, whole show is possible. Okay? Like that. Shastram only helps us. We are already experiencing. When you are seeing the dance, you are simultaneously seeing the light also. Got it? Similarly, in every whatever you're experiencing, enjoying, already consciousness is experienced. But attention is not paid. So Shastram helps you shift your attention from the thought to the object to the subject, the consciousness, and which is abstract, formless, and helps you understand that in terms of its nature of knowing. That's what Shastram helps you recognize what is already cognized. That is why self-knowledge is called self-recognition, not self-realization. Self-recognition. Self-knowledge is self-recognition of self-knowledge. Think. Lot of misconceptions have to be broken. Very subtle. We'll discuss tomorrow. Oh, 6:20. Was it useful? I know sitting for 2 hours is too long, and listening to the same teaching again is too long. But these are quite. It's okay because I have to tell you, because I don't. If I don't tell, then it's not right. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.